This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at T-Mobile Park. Mariners getting set to take on the Astros. Game one of their series just a couple hours away. We get a chance to speak to another member of this team. A man who does a little bit of everything for him is now sitting down in the dugout, holding the microphone, getting ready to talk to us. The one, the only, Jose Marmolejos is with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, it's such a blessing to be here right now to get to chat with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you doing it. It's funny to see your teammates come walking out of the dugout. They're looking at you like, what are you doing? Sitting there with headsets and a microphone. I think they thought you were doing karaoke.
Yeah, maybe. Just Kendall passed by Graveman and was giving me a funny look. Yeah, I'm just here sitting on my talk show.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys have a different vibe when you're playing a division rival rather than somebody who's out of the AL Central? This is the first matchup with somebody in your division. Does that change the intensity at all or the vibe before the game?
Honestly, it doesn't. We should play hard against anybody, and we should have that mindset of being very competitive and go about our business. So it doesn't really put us in our head any pressure or any different thought, just to go out there and best for our best of our abilities.
What about when you're playing a division rival who cheats?
Well, like I said, we just got to go out there on the field and play hard. That's my ability.
He's not biting.
Very wise of you, Jose. Very wise. Not biting.
Hey, let me ask you, growing up in the Dominican Republic, kind of talk about how you came to baseball. And when did you, start to seriously think about being a professional baseball player growing up as a kid?
Right, so I grew up down in the Dominican Republic, and I played baseball, little leagues and all that stuff. It was very fun. But after I was around 13, 14 is when, a lot of guys down there, they call them Buscón. That's, the guys that, get you ready to, so the teams can see you and probably sign you and stuff. They started, having interest. And then that was when I was 14. It was okay, we can really take this serious because, he has talent, and I think we could get him there. And from there, from 14 to 15 is when I started really, really approaching as of trying to sign with a major league team.
That's interesting. I just looked up Buscón, and sure enough, Dominican Republic, people who get young players ready to the scouts and ready for Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
There we go. We've got a new word.
He wouldn't lie to you.
I know. It's just... Yeah.
Hey, give us a sense of what it's like this year. It feels like this is such a great clubhouse. It's such a young team, and everybody's excited. And on top of it, it sounds like nobody's paying any attention to what expectations are. Everybody said, well, next year is about the playoffs. This year is about development. And everybody we talk to feels like they're like, yeah, they can say whatever we want. We're going out here, and we're winning. And as we sit, you're in first place.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you this. We're going about our business. That's the first thing. First day in spring training, everybody's going about their business. Everybody's being super, super professional. And at the same time, we're having fun, At the end of the day, there's a lot of stuff that we can control. And, on the field, right there is when we can give our 100%. And, everybody's having fun. We're holding everybody, every team is holding it. Everybody accountable, and we're having fun, man. We're just having fun.
Sure looks like it, man. And you guys, you're competitive. I like some of the ways you've been winning games. I mean, extra inning games, that's not usually what a young team does. And you guys, I guess the attitude in there, we're all talking about, oh, well, they're a few years away. You're probably thinking, hey, we're winning now, right?
Exactly. At the end of the day, you just got to take care of what's in front of you as of right now. You cannot think back or think ahead. We just got to focus on the now, So we cannot just be thinking about what's going to happen in a couple of months. We should be thinking about what are we doing to this pitcher that we're facing today and how we're going to approach him and all of that, We cannot just think way ahead.
As a guy, you just turned 28 years old, which on this team makes you one of the older guys.
Right. Right, yeah.
Do you feel like an older guy? I mean, there's so many young guys and some that are still going to be coming up, but do you feel like one of the old veterans on this team?
I don't. I mean, sometimes talking to certain guys sometimes that don't, but I just try to soak in anything, like everything, and just help with anything I could help with. But I don't feel like an older guy, you know. I feel like right in between, I would say.
Yeah. Well, you're a young guy. I mean, just in this locker room, in this clubhouse, yeah. Everybody's feels like they're 23, 24 years
right,
old.
Right.
At 28, you're like the grizzled old veteran.
We'd kill to be 28, Jose. We'd kill. Hey, any preference? I mean, you play out in the field, first base. It's always very impressive to me when, you know, you have a guy that can just play all over the field like yourself. Any preference for position?
You know, I like to play first base, but I would say the outfield, like catching fly balls, there's something about catching fly balls that makes it look like, I don't know, like swaggy. Like you feel good about like stepping down and watching a fly ball go down to your glove. It's just like, it's more laid back, I would say, the outfield.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like to play them both, honestly.
Who was it? Was there a player that you emulate or tried to emulate when you grew up and said, I want to be like that guy? Did you have a favorite player,
honestly,
favorite team?
Man, I'm here. Like, my dad is my witness. He used to, hey, do the Ken Griffey. I was just start dating like Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah, like, that was my stance when I was growing up. Trying to emulate Ken Griffey.
Okay. Well, I'm sure a lot of guys say that, too, but that's cool that you're here now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, when I signed here, when I met him in spring training last year, it was one of the best days of my life. I even hit a homer that day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Did you tell him you were a fan? Did you feel like you were one of the fans coming up to you asking for autographs? Did you act like that?
I did act like that. 100%. 100%. He was having a conversation with one of the guys, and I was like, just waiting, like trying to creep in. Uh-huh. He acknowledged, and I was like, oh, Mr. Griffey, nice to meet you.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, what do you like to do off the field, Jose, when you guys, you and your teammates, first of all, who do you hang out with the most on the team, and then what do you do? Like, I know on the road now you can't really go many places, but typically what kind of things you like to do off the field?
You know, we cannot do a whole lot, but, like, if we would have been like a regular, I like to visit different restaurants, mm-hmm. try different foods, like different countries and stuff like that. That's one of my big things. And I listen to music a lot. I listen to different types of music. That's like one of my things. Sometimes read books, mm-hmm. but other than that, just listen to music, relax.
Do you have a park on the road that you like playing in more than I mean, talking about the stadiums out there? Every one of them are so unique and different. Is there one you look forward to playing in more than others?
I really liked, since last year we went to San Diego twice, and like the first time I enjoyed it so much that I was waiting like to go back there. I really liked that park and like the environment and everything. But we didn't have fans, but at the same time it felt good playing there.
That's a tough hitter's park though to get a ball out of there, isn't it?
You know what? They actually put the walls a little closer now, so
oh,
I don't
okay.
think it's as bad. No, it's not that bad anymore.
Yeah, how much of that is a part of being an outfielder? And that's what we were talking about earlier in the week, that's the thing I love about baseball is everything's different, you know, different parks, different, you know, you got to go learn how to play off the wall,
right.
The green monster, right? I mean, how much of that is you got to go out there and walk around and take a look at it? Do you do a lot of that?
For sure. Like, we were just at Baltimore. The first thing you go out there whenever we're going to do team defense, check out the walls, how the balls are bouncing off the wall, how they're, like, whenever they get hit down the corner, they ricochet or something. Like, we mm-hmm. check all of that in every single ballpark.
How do you view this ballpark? Because when it first opened, the hitters really didn't love it because the fences were out there. It was really hard to get the ball out of there. They moved the fences. How do you feel it is now for a hitter?
Well, this is not a hitter's park. This is not like you were just going to smack down when the square one up and it's going to go out. There's some doubt still whenever you get a good knock here. But, I mean, still a good environment. I love it. I love this view. I love the stadium.
Jose, you ever pay? We're thinking we're probably going to get some good hecklers here tonight. And people texting in, talking about what they're going to say. Do you listen to, I mean, and now especially you can hear people, and I was saying in the NFL, every once in a while I'd notice something that somebody said that was really funny. Mm-hmm. Do you ever interact with fans or got any stories about what you've heard from the stands?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we're just in the dugout and you just hear random stuff, but I cannot come up with anything in particular right now. But yeah, we do hear a lot of stuff.
And a lot more now,
for
right?
For sure we're going to hear some stuff tonight, I know. Yeah. I'll be listening. Yeah. Now we're going to get some good stuff.
Hey, what was that like last year playing with no fans, seeing cardboard cutouts and everything? Was it? I'm sure you probably had no idea what it would be like, but once you got in the middle of it, did it feel normal, or were you like, this is really odd?
Yeah, and in the beginning it was weird. It was really weird. You would get this, the noise, the background, like from the stereo or whatever. But, I mean, once we got going, like, just gotta compete, and the concentration level was there and everything, and just it made it feel a little more normal.
Well, Jose, it's good to talk to you, man. We'll let you go. We see your teammates are coming up interrupting your talk show.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
messing with your talk show.
Interrupting my talk show, bro.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Best to all of you guys. Thank you.
There you go, Jose Marmoleo. See, they're interrupting his talk show. I love it.
I was cracking up earlier when he said that. He's like, yeah, I'm out here doing my own talk show.
Yeah. You can see everybody as he's sitting there. They look at him like, what are you doing? Because they're sitting down there holding a mic, got the headsets on.
Well, these guys give each other a hard time. We were talking about that, and you know, and Kyle giving everybody a hard time and stuff. But these guys spend so much time around each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
162 games, man.
Much, much, much more than in the NFL.
How would that be if you there had to be teammates you didn't prefer.
Yeah.
At some point in your career. Imagine having to be around them that much. I mean,
you know, it's funny. I don't remember that many that I didn't like, or that I was somebody that kind of hung out with everybody. Like the married guys would have me, you know, offensive line. Dave yeah. Craig would have me over. I'd hang out with the younger guys when I was older. But yeah, there were some guys that I won't name any names. Anthony Miller, that were really just bad teammates, not nice, but. For these guys, I mean, you're on the road, and we're talking to Blauer sort of off the air about the traveling thing. For you know, the broadcast team and everything, it is kind of a grind, especially in baseball. I mean, you know, these guys are going for 3-4 days at a time, going on the road, and now that, you know, you're calling stuff from here, the NFL's, you know, different.
Well, you could hang out with your guys on defense. You guys could separate. Offense and defense are so many more players versus a baseball yeah. team. We were talking right. about 25 guys there, and if you don't like somebody, you're still next to them. They might be hitting right in front of you in the order. They might be, you know, you're a second baseman. They could be the shortstop. I mean, you never know if there's an odd dynamic personality-wise. It's a lot harder to get away, I would compared to football, certainly.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you really rely on your leaders, too. And I always said Jacob Green and Dave Craig were the two leaders on that team. And it wasn't like they were putting themselves out there like that. But just from my estimation, they sort of set the tone, set the culture. They were both guys that, you know, Jacob Green would get up in a meeting, say, you know, when he said something, you listened. And so, yeah, and they set the tone. And it was also, that was the best team that I was ever on, just because whether you were from the South or, you know, the West Coast, or you're on offense or defense or black or white, everybody hung out together. Everybody, yeah. It was a tight-knit team, and I think it was because of Dave and Jacob, because of the way they kind of set the tone. So it seems like, you know, they've got a really good culture. You always got to have a guy like Kyle Seager that's giving everybody a hard time. Kind of
so funny. He seems like the least likely to be.
I know.
Because he's so stone-faced most of the time. You don't really see him laughing much. I mean, he smiles here and there, but.
Pretty guarded in the media.
Yeah, he's pretty. But he's very low-key when he talks. He's kind of quiet. He doesn't. There's not a lot of. He's not exuberant. Yeah. He's very reserved.
You know, we were down at spring training one time, and I'll never forget this about him. And I know it's a little thing, but I think it's a big thing. He's walking into the facility to go to the bathroom, and he was ahead of me. He opens the door, goes through, and then he sees me and holds the door open for me for, like, you know.
And you thanked him.
3 or 4 seconds. No, I just walked right past him.
You rude, typical Seattleite.
Of course, yeah. I just thought that was very cool. I mean, it just sort of gives you a little bit of a glimpse into what a guy's all about.
Yeah.
You know, those little things that. You know, it's like they say, if somebody's really nice to you, but they treat the waiter badly or poorly,
yeah,
probably not a good person. So, yeah, those little things I think are very important, especially on a young team. You know, you have somebody to set the culture. I kind of took that to Denver when I went there. You know, I had the linebackers all get together, and they were pretty much, you know, there was Carl Mecklenburg on one end, and then there were some younger guys on the other end that kind of got them all together. And we went out and had, you know, a couple pops, things like that, you know, get together. And so that's just something that really helps your team out. And especially for this young team, you know, getting the culture right is going to be very important. And I think they've got some really good guys.
Yeah, just judging by the guys we've talked to and how they speak of each other. And man, it seems like a really great group. You guys can text in 710-710. The 509 says, oh, come on, we all have to spend way too much time with coworkers that are giant donkeys.
Well, it depends on what industry you're working in.
Yeah, you're. This is one where I guess you can go home at night, every night at work most of the time, unless I don't know how often you're traveling with the giant donkeys that you work with. These guys have to travel together, and they,
yeah,
you know, they're staying in hotels, and you have to meet together, and you're eating together, and you're forced into that situation. Now, they live a great life, they make great money, and they have the best accommodations, but still, if you're with somebody you just don't get along with, you're forced to be around each other.
Yeah, you makes know, it tough.
We work with a donkey at the station. We go home at night. We see him the next day. But,
yeah,
you know, we can all leave.
Who are you talking about?
We don't have to sit next to Lefko if we don't want to. He's too quiet. You could never get mad.
Mike's the nicest guy. And really, unless you get in between him and food.
Yeah. Then,
hey, by the way, had you heard of Buscone?
No.
Not heard that term before.
No.
Okay, we learned something.
Yeah. I just like that you double-checked it. You didn't trust him.
No, I didn't know what he said. I wasn't sure. I thought, so I just tried to spell it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now you created doubt in his brain about me, Bob. Why'd you do that? Buscone.
You had to check it.
No, I wasn't checking up on him. I assumed he knew what he was talking about. I'd never heard that before, and it's actually in Pro Baseball Reference.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, if you type it in. So, yeah, it was, I don't know about the peddling. It says, refer to people who peddle young baseball players.
Ooh, that doesn't.
I'd say use a different word.
Sounds like human trafficking.
Yeah,
that does.
That
doesn't sound good.
But, you know, they basically are people that get, you know, the athletes and the scouts together, you know, try to find scouts for Major League Baseball teams for these players. So, yeah, really cool. I mean, growing up in the Dominican and making his way here, and here he is in the great Northwest. What a trip. And, you know, guy was with the Nationals before, mm-hmm. and now here in Seattle and part of a big rebuild here, which is fun. And he's a great player to have because he's incredibly versatile.
Yeah, he's that utility player. Hits from the left side, and he's got some pop and can fill in, whether it's first base or the – I like – what do you say about the outfield? It's kind of swaggy. Is that what you said? Catching a fly ball?
He just thinks, yeah, I guess running down a fly ball, it looks cool.
It's kind of swaggy. It's kind of laid back.
Yeah.
and Junior, of course, he'd say that. Junior was his favorite player, and that's who he was trying to emulate. So
I could so picture him standing there waiting for Ken Griffey to get free so he could go up and talk to him and get his autograph.
Hey, Mr. Griffey, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool to talk to him, and I think Lefko's upset. We were supposed to get some food in here at some point. Is that not happening? What's going on?
That's what I'm searching for. So hold off on that read for now.
I see him looking around like, what in the hell?
No offense. I mean, this is high praise, but you know who you remind me of is Hoover, my dog.
No offense.
I love Hoover. Hoover's my most beloved animal and the superior animal in the household. But, man, when he gets on a bone or a treat or something like that, he's just like
laser focused.
Yeah, you can't. And that's what we're seeing out of Lefko.
You just compare me to a dog.
It's a beloved
who
family
wants a treat.
It's a beloved family pet.
Okay,
he may like that dog more than some family members. You don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
He might feel
there's
really
lots
strong.
Of times, different times. I do.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
All right, we do have Mean Text coming up, so you still have some time. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. 710-710 is the text line. Meanwhile, what has surprised you the most about this Mariners start? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto Parts and Service. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Mean Text. You look forward to it every Friday, and you've still got time. 710-710 is the text number, so get those in. We'll unveil your Venom coming up in the next segment as we are still live at T-Mobile Park. The Cheaters are up there taking batting practice. I don't know if they can hear me, Dave. I was yelling Cheaters during the break.
It's pretty loud, Bob.
They got the music blaring, so I'm not sure if they can hear me or not.
I just think they're conditioned. I mean, you think they haven't heard this? Was there zero fans last year?
There was zero.
Zero. Okay.
Zero, yeah. Just cardboard cutouts.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I guess they didn't hear anything, but I just wonder how much, what it's been like. I haven't, you know, read much about it. It's not like I saw the one game down with the Angels where they had thrown the garbage can down on the field.
Yeah.
And I think we saw the inflatable garbage can bouncing around out there like a beach ball.
We heard somebody else out here yelling Cheaters as well as we were sitting up here. But, yeah, I don't know if they're just – maybe they're just conditioned to tune it out or if they got the music blaring and they can't hear us. But I think they will hear once there are 9,000 fans in the building. They're going to be able to hear some things. They're going to go through some things tonight.
I bet you if anybody ever hits a home run, you know, from the Astros, be like, oh, I bet you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
There'll be some stuff that's said, but it's, I don't know, a lot of these guys weren't part of it. So, you know.
And a lot of them were.
I don't know how you react.
And a lot of them were.
Yeah.
Altuve's not here, though. Who's wearing the buzzer? Altuve's not here. Who's going to wear the buzzer?
Nobody turned around, Bob. They still can't hear you.
Cheaters! No, they can't hear.
Nobody?
Nothing.
Not so far.
You know, you're kind of like a Danny O'Neill, man. Danny's much more obnoxious.
Yeah, he would just... Yeah.
He would make sounds. And
he'd come in costume. The whole thing would be his... Yeah, I don't know what they can hear or not. But, yeah, I know the Seattle fans will give it to him tonight, as they should, because they deserve it. What do you think has been the most surprising thing about this team so far? To me, it's been their resilience. It's not any one individual. If I'm going individuals, there are two that surprised me the most. The way that Mitch Haniger started out, like he has not missed a day, and Kyle Seager getting off to a hot start, because that has been his claim to fame for the wrong reasons, that you just kind of come into a season expecting Kyle is going to be a slow starter. We'll talk about him in May. Like, I never got... As years have gone on, when Kyle would struggle during April, I would just kind of go, yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't get worked up about it. There'd be moments in games you'd be like, oh, geez, you need him to come up with that play or that hit. But it didn't happen. You were just sort of conditioned to expect it to happen starting in May.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm going individuals, those would be my two biggest surprises. But as a team, it really has been their resilience very early, being down 6-0 late in a game and coming back and winning, getting some lousy starting pitching and still finding a way to win when in a sport where it's very easy to go, chalk this one up, we'll get them tomorrow. It's one of 162.
I think it's the extra innings wins that has been their 3-0 in those situations. And that's typically not, the resiliency is what gets them there, but they just don't seem to be affected by things. And you don't see. Now, I'll say one thing. The one guy who, and we love him, Taylor Trammell, on the bases, you know, he's made some very rookie moves out on the bases. And I like seeing that. He needs to go through that. That needs to happen. And I think he's handling it well. And I feel like he's got the maturity. I think that's maybe if it was one word, I'd say it's maturity. They certainly are. The biggest surprise to me, though, for me, was Marco Gonzalez starting out the way he did. Now, I think everything's okay, but the biggest surprise to me was those two outings, especially considering the fact that after two, he had, five walks, and he had not walked more than one guy per game last year in any of his starts. So that was the max amount, and he had a couple of games that were zero. So, you know, and I think he had, eight walks all of last year, and his record was 7-4. So
when I was asking for biggest surprise, I thought you might go positive, Dave.
You know, I know. I'm being negative. I am.
You got to lean on Marco and his terrible start.
But that was surprising, though, wasn't it?
It was jarring.
That was the question.
Yeah, it was jarring. I thought you'd lean toward the positive, but that's okay. You're right. Yeah. It was incredibly surprising because that was the guy we had no questions about.
Yeah. Well, and I think Kikuchi was probably the biggest question answered. And I think Shannon Dreyer confirmed that. By the way, I'm seeing a lot of orange out here right now. Looks like we're seeing some Astro fans coming in here. So
aren't we?
Maybe they're going to turn around
and
start fighting with the Mariner fans, but
they'll lose.
I don't think we're going to get
or two. They'll cheat. They'll eye gouge. They'll kick you in the nether regions because they're cheaters. I'm going to assume their fans are too. Yeah, there are some Astro jerseys out there. That's embarrassing. How embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel weird as a fan if your team won and you just got exposed on just nationally, you were cheating and you won a title? Would you feel like it feels kind of dirty? It doesn't
feel flying the flag or wearing the jersey.
Would you be walking around puffed up in your team jersey or, hey, we're the champs?
No.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know how you walk around with those and have some level of pride. I'd be a little, they deserve what they get.
I do like that the color combination from like the 70s that has the different like orange, yellow.
Oh, the gradual pant.
Yeah.
Those are so awful.
Oh,
and they had the elastic waistband pants.
Those are ugly. I just like the color combination. I thought that was cool.
That was back really in cool. the Nolan Ryan, J.R. Richard days.
Yeah.
J.R. Richard, Bob Watson, those guys playing out there.
Also in Houston, I think one of the coolest things, and Dave Pearson, who works for the Seahawks, I told this story the other day. He has a Houston Oiler helmet.
The old school one?
The old school one with the oil derrick on it.
Yeah.
Those are money.
That's one Earl Campbell will be wearing. One.
Exactly.
Like the baby blue? The love you blue?
The love the baby blue. Yep. Bum Phillips over on the sidelines with his cowboy hat. Yeah, that. So Houston's got some cool colors, but other than that, they're just a bunch of dirty cheaters.
They are cheaters. Look at them. They're just trying to find new ways to cheat. That's what they're doing. By the way, did you notice Marmolejos just wasn't going to jump on that at all?
He's very wise.
But Keenan did. We talked to Keenan Middleton earlier. And
he's a pitcher, though.
He was all about it, though. He joined in on the conversation about these cheating donkeys that are in town from Houston. And Jose was more about, we're just going to go out there and play hard and do our thing. He was being a diplomat. He was being a professional. He was just allowing me to be unprofessional.
By the way, I was being very negative there because I said my most surprising thing was, Marco Gonzalez, but only because I think what we saw in innings 2 through 5 is going to be the norm, much more than the exception. And then I also mentioned Taylor Trammell with some base running gaffes. I don't mean to be negative.
Well, I didn't put that together. Yeah. You really did go negative there, didn't you?
No, but I love Taylor Trammell. I think again, I thought that it was kind of cute watching him make that mistake, and but
he's
that,
made it twice now.
Yeah, well, actually it's three times, I think. I mean, he had the one where he got.
Well, he's been picked off.
He
twice.
Started running. Okay.
Yeah, and then he tried to steal. In the last game, and he was, it reminded me of that scene in Major League where he slid in front of the base and stopped, and the guy's holding the glove going, come on, a little further.
He did try to execute the little foot switch, where, one goes back. But anyway, I just think the only reason I bring it up, not to be negative, reason I bring it up is because I think that they need to go through that process.
Yeah. All right, coming up, your mean text. You still have a couple of minutes. 710-710 is the text line. We'll unveil the wrath of the Wyman and Bob listeners next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Here we are live from T-Mobile Park watching the cheaters out there on the field who, as we stuck our head out the window, Dave, realized there's no way they're hearing me yelling from up here because that music's incredibly loud out on the field, which is good for them because I'd hurt their feelings. The way the listeners try to hurt our feelings every week with their mean texts. They generally start on Monday, as we said, and end on Friday. 7-10, 7-10.
I haven't seen any. We got some good ones?
Yeah. We have some good ones.
There was one that the guy yesterday texted it, and he goes, I'm off tomorrow, so this one was a shot at me.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
Did you happen to say that one? Yeah, 360. He said, nice to hear Dave fix his foundation issues so he can focus on his prostate.
What else did we get? We had some come in today, right?
We had some good ones. You know what? I was a little worried because we had an interrupted schedule all week, so I was worried, would they have proper time to send in all these texts, and then they started flying in today. People had a lot of work off the live stream. One of them said, the 206 said, 253 said, Bob, move your big head and then swing the camera a little left so we can all watch the game.
My big head? You're clearly not talking to me. There's no way. You've got me confused with somebody else.
They were looking at a different head, I guess. I
Bob's
know.
Got a tiny head packed full of brains.
That's right. I got a peanut head. I'm shaped like a bowling pin here.
And another one said, 206, did your ratings go up when Bob's mic cut out and then there was the high-pitched squealing noise?
Oh, so you could hear that squealing
I
noise.
Guess so. I didn't realize
okay.
it.
I thought I was the only one hearing that. So they knew how obnoxious that actually was.
Yeah, fun of live radio there.
I like this 253. I looked at a picture of Bob, Dave, and Moore, and they look like the same person in different stages of their life. That's pretty good. That was good.
That's good stuff.
That was clever.
Listeners.
Yeah, I'll say the 360, when you guys were asking about if there were any fans in the stands for the Astros last year, and you said there were none, and they replied... 360 said, last year the stands had about as many fans as you do right now.
Oh.
Ouch.
Nice.
Cardboard cutouts, though.
Yeah.
I'll take them.
Yeah.
So thousands of fake fans.
It's like the texters.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just kidding, texters. Don't get your feelings hurt.
How about this one from the 253? Remember somebody said I look like Ned Flanders? I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
Now they said... I assume it's the same person, 253. Okay, Bob, I Google imaged you, and you don't look like Ned Flanders. You look like Keanu Reeves if he wasn't good at anything.
Keanu Reeves is a definite upgrade, though, from
Ned Flanders.
Yeah. And it's just talking about appearance, so it doesn't matter whether he's good or not. So you're good.
That's
you're good
pretty
go.
Good, though.
Compliment.
Well done, 253. That was good.
And I told you, they're fascinated with this stream and your appearance. One of them said, the 206... Bob, I've watched the live stream since September, and I'm convinced you own one shirt and one hat. That's it.
I do wear the same hat almost every day. Although I have, it's the Mariners spring training cap from last year.
Yeah.
But I've mixed in some Seattle Kraken gear.
You got some in your rotation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're kind of the same color, so it's very easy just to look at it and go, it's the same hat.
Bob also has the underwear that has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
But I don't wear the same shirt every day. That's not true. But the hat, you got me there.
That was like Dave's flannel. Someone yeah. was yeah. particularly obsessed with their flannel.
I know. So. It was in the rotation there for a while. But now that we're getting a little warmer temperatures, no more.
Oh, it goes away?
I broke out the flannel because KJ Wright, remember in the post game he had the red flannel, like the lumberjack jacket going on there?
I don't.
Yeah, he looked great. It was old school.
So you said, I want to be like him.
Yeah.
I want to be like KJ.
Like, hey, I have one of those.
So this one is pretty good, and I think the fact that there was a typo made it better. They texted in, 253 said to Dave, once a pants caker, always a pamper caker. And, you know, pamper diapers, but he goes, dang it, meant to say once a pants caker, always a pants caker. I think okay. a pampers caker, based on some of our history and our conversations, might be pretty funny.
Got it. What's with me and pants caking?
Or pampers, diapers?
You know who right. it was. It was Fernando Rodney that brought all that up.
The caking of the pants?
Yeah.
Really?
He was the one. Yeah. Because that's what would happen.
I, you know what I loved about that saying is that it used to make Jim really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, of all the things he would say to people and stuff we would talk about, he'd get bunched up when you would say something about caking your pants.
Right.
That's not funny.
Yeah. No, he didn't think it's funny. And, you know, in the pants-caking world, there's four kinds of people. The people that have caked their pants and they think it's funny, and those that don't. And then those that haven't and that they think it's funny, and some don't think it's funny. It's a quadrant, really. And Jim has caked pants, does not think it's funny. My wife, fortunately, falls into the has
funny.
Not caked pants, but thinks it's funny.
Finds the humor in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you remember we had the rolling thing on the field earlier, the beeping?
Yeah.
That was fun. So 425 said, tell Dave to change the battery in his hearing aid. It'll stop beeping.
And then we were talking about that high-pitched squeal when the batteries went dead. It says the high-pitched squealing noise was still less annoying than Bob. Nice. Nice 509. Well done. And then the other person said, Bob just doesn't have any fat on his head. We were talking about my small head.
Yeah.
What else did we get, Lefko? Anything else grabbing you?
Yeah, we have some decent ones. You know, sometimes they're funnier than others. This is all right. The 509. Dave is afraid of losing the human element in baseball. Did he come to the park via horse and sends messages through carrier pigeon? Wait, I know the answer to that.
You're old-fashioned.
Very funny. Very funny. Yeah. Smoke signals, telegraph,
Remember Telegraph? You ever get a Telegraph once?
Telegraph? No.
Yeah. Or a, you know, a wire note. Yeah. I got one.
Where was Telegram?
I got mine was from Hertz.
No, but where would you be to receive that? Like, it would show up at work or show up at your home?
I'm not sure where. I think it was delivered by, like, a Western Union person.
Telegram. Mr.
Yeah,
Wyman.
Telegram. Yeah. happened in high school is the last time I remember that. Can you imagine that? And now it's just send a text.
I thought that was something they did in the 30s and 40s. Telegram.
You're talking about like Morse code or something like that?
Or just somebody showing up with a I think I'm thinking of Blazing Saddles. Don't they show up with Telegram? Mongo.
Yeah.
Telegram for Mongo. What else? Let's see.
Well, I was saving a good one in case the cookies came, but I don't think they're coming. So
okay.
We're going to have to, as we start to wind down here, I have a good one here. So here's on the 509. Lefko, if Dave comes up to you with a jar of peanut butter, you need to get out of there. You were describing me as your dog.
Oh. All right.
Okay. Let's leave that one alone.
On that note.
Peanut butter. Yeah. Dogs like to eat peanut butter.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for us.
No, we got 45 seconds or so. And I keep hoping the cookies will come in.
Lefko, why don't you check with me before you read text from now on?
The cookies aren't showing up, Lefko. Okay. That's it. The dream is over. He's very disappointed. Maybe next time we're out. We'll be out here any Friday that the Mariners are out here. Want to thank our guests today, John Clayton, Mike Blowers. Who else did we have? We had Jose Marmoleos, Keenan Middleton. Am I missing anybody? Nobody? That's it. Oh, that's everybody.
That's everybody.
Thanks to DJ back at the station, Mike Lefko here. Thanks to all of you. Everybody have a great weekend. You can get everything on the podcast page, 710sports.com. We will talk to you on Monday right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.